Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. You know, when I look back over the Scriptures and I think about the Word of God, passage comes to mind. Actually, passage from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 15. It's an exhortation to spirituality and repentance. It's a challenge of God to the nation of Israel for them to look at their spiritual condition and evaluate themselves and repent of anything that's standing between them and God. Specifically, verse 11 works and applies to what we just read. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." Now from that passage, and the passage that we read today, we understand that Paul was thankful for these Christians. He appreciated them. He appreciated their testimony, because they had received the Word of God. Now notice that word "received" this morning. They did not just hear the Word of God. They received it. They took ownership of it. That's something important. Do you take ownership of the Word of God today? Very good question. It's a very interesting question. It's one that we will look at today. When we talk about taking ownership or receiving the Word of God, it is proof that God's Word will not return unto Him void. When we have ownership of it in our own lives personally, when Terry has ownership of the Word of God, it has not returned unto Him void. When you have ownership of the Word of God, it has not returned unto Him void. Stop for just a moment and think about all of the born-again Christians around the world today that have ownership because they have received the Word of God and it has not returned unto Him void. It's a blessing of the testimony of the work of the Word of God in the lives of people. When we are born again, we according to the Bible, receive the Word of God as truth. Truth. Another very important word this morning, because truth is a word that we don't hear a lot today. Stop and think about that. When was the last time you heard someone talk about the truth? You hear them talk about facts. You hear them talk about evidence. You hear them talk about the proof of something. But what about truth? Truth. The very powerful word. When Pilate was questioning Jesus at his trial, Jesus told Pilate that, "I testify of the truth." Pilate then asked the Lord in the next statement, "What is truth?" What is truth? Well, truth defined in its simplest form is certainty. That's interesting, isn't it? Truth is defined as certainty. When we talk about the truth, we are certain about something. There's no doubt. There's no question. That kind of clears up the earlier statement I made about why we don't hear it talked a lot about today, why we don't hear truth mentioned a lot, because people just aren't certain today. Jesus told Pilate that he was certain that he testified of the certainty of God's Word. He testified of the certainty of God's will. He testified of the certainty of his mission here on earth. And then Pilate asked the question, what is truth? What is certainty? The church has experienced the truth or the certainty of redemption because of the truth or the certainty of God's word. The truth or the certainty of God's word. It is what it is. The Bible is not written and the word of God is not given to appease or to negotiate or to conform to the world. It is given to transform the world. It's given to transform people's lives. It was given to transform your life and my life. That's the certainty of the word of God today. This morning, if you're saved, it's because you placed your confidence in the truth or the certainty of the Word of God. That's fine. That's the reality this morning. When you heard the Word of God preached, and the Holy Spirit took it and touched your heart, and you came forward and you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you remember when that happened in your life, you accepted the certainty of God's word, the truth of it. You believed it. You believed it to the point where you would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That very same confidence is what Paul was telling the church of Thessalonica. He was telling them, your life, your witness, your testimony is evidence of the truth of the word of God. What a blessing it would be to hear that. That's something that's needed for the church today. We need to have that kind of influence in the world around us. Now, is it going to be popular? No, it isn't. Is it going to be well received? No, it isn't. The political side of it is going to come up in arms over it. But yet, that's what the church needs to do. The church needs that kind of influence, the certainty of the Word of God. More simply said, they, the church of Thessalonica, received the truth of God's Word. And they, out of that reception, they realized a triumph that comes from the truth of the Word of God. A triumph. Not a tragedy. A triumph. There's a victory in knowing and clinging to and taking ownership of the Word of God. This morning, look with me at this passage as I preach to you the triumph of God's Word. The triumph of God's Word. The Word of God is first the truth received. Notice with me in verse 13. When we receive the truth of God's Word, we must realize God's Word has a fivefold quality that we find here. Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as men, but as in truth. The truth of the Word of God is first received as inspired. It is God-breathed. That's how the Holy Spirit describes it in Scripture. The word that Paul uses here is theanoustos. And it can be understood as a trumpeter breathing into his instrument and his fingers controlling the flow of the breath through the tubes. And just as that takes place in making music, God breathed his words through his instruments and controlled the very parts of speech that they used. When the Word of God was written and taken down, it was God Himself who breathed it into the hearts of those who wrote it down. Paul received the inspiration of the Word of God before he wrote it. Now there's an argument out there today that says, well, I don't believe that Paul actually wrote all of those letters. And then there's an argument out there that says, oh yes, if he says they did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me ask you a question this morning. What difference does it really make? If God breathed it, and if God gave it to Paul, and Paul spoke it, and he had somebody there writing it down for him, it's still the Word of God breathed through the lips of man and recorded on paper as the Word of God. Why sweat the small stuff? It is inspired today. There's no way of violating the freedom of a human composer. It's there. It doesn't matter if it's a psalm or a narrative or a letter that's being penned. It's there. It is inspired. I hope you realize this morning that when you open your Bible, you're not just opening something that someone gave as an idea, a thought, or a suggestion. You're opening a translation of the Word of God that was inspired into the hearts of man. And that same inspiration can speak to you today of the intent of it. Not only is it inspired this morning, but it is inerrant. It is inerrant. The original writings are free from any error. So, well, preacher, we don't have any of the original writings, so that means the Bible must have error, really. Really. So you're saying that through your Bible, God cannot reveal to people the absolute truth about the subjects that He speaks on. When we translate the Word of God into another language, what is there that God's going to allow to get lost? If we were going to take that attitude and move into that frame of mind about translations and about how they work and about all of these other things that come from the original writings being error-free and all of these little hair-splitting arguments that men want to throw out there, then I guess the only way to accurately preach or teach it would be if everybody learned Greek and Hebrew. And that still wouldn't end the argument. I could go on about those for hours. But the fact of the matter is, do we accept the Word of God as inerrant this morning? Do you accept it without error, that it is the Word of God? Any appearance of error or contradiction may come from a poor translation, a poor interpretation. It may come from ignorance. It may come from bias. It may come from human fallibility. It may come from a human partially grasping the Word of God. And think about this morning. When we read our Bible and we come across something and we think, well, that's a contradiction. But here, this contradicts this. We have to ask the question. And I always ask this question even to myself. And I always encourage others to do the same. When you run across something and you think it's a contradiction, is it a contradiction of the Word of God or is it a contradiction of your ability to understand the Word of God? According to the Bible, I am a sinner. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have a sin nature. Well, if there's a problem or a contradiction in the Word of God or in the understanding of the Word of God, more than likely it's because of my sin nature, and more than likely it's because I have a problem understanding the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I've proven that to myself, and God's proven it to me. Because many times I've had problems thinking there were contradictions, and I've went back over it and prayed, and went back over it and studied, and finally it was shown to me that it wasn't God's Word that had an error, it was me and my understanding that had an error. The Word of God is inerrant this morning. Not our understanding. Not my understanding, not my understanding. It is inerrant this morning. And the triumph of the Word of God is that it is truth. It is certainty in all parts of our lives. It is also infinite. The Word of God is without measure or without end. In other words, there is no part of the Word of God that doesn't touch every aspect of our life in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Romans 11, verses 33 and 34 say this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? The Word of God addresses everything that we need today. Everything we need to know about life. Everything. And to great detail. And some to little detail. But nonetheless, it's everything we need to know. The Word of God speaks specifically and boldly to some things. But the Word of God speaks subtly to others. Why? Because God chose to speak to you and I that way this morning. That's how He wanted to address it. The Word of God, the Bible, is a book of faith. Many today want to say, well, historically, you can't prove this through the Bible. Or archaeologically, you can't prove that through the Bible. Or you can't prove this, or you can't prove that. The Bible is a book of faith. There is a lot of the book, the Word of God is written in such a way where God requires you to take it by faith. That's His infinite measure. If it is inspired, if it is inerrant, and it is infinite, and it deals with the faith that you and I have in God, if He is capable of saving our soul through His Son Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His resurrection from the tomb, then is He not capable of supplying the wishes and the desires of our heart when it comes to His Word this morning? Paul preached this as an encouragement to the people in Thessalonica. Because they were coming under fire. They were coming under persecution. He needed to give them some encouragement. And it ought to be an encouragement to us this morning. Not only is it infinite, it's incisive. The Bible has the power to penetrate our thoughts, to penetrate our hearts, to quicken our conscience, and to conquer our will. The Bible can do all of that with the words printed on the very pages that we handle every day. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick or living and powerful or energetic, an energy that is possessed with strength from within. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word discerner comes from a Greek word that occurs only in that one spot, and it means the Word of God is a critic to all who live on the earth. Not a critical word, but a critic, meaning that it evaluates our lives. The Word of God sinks deep into our lives and evaluates our life, not in our terms, but in God's terms. According to His Word. According to the power of His Word. Many today call themselves a higher critic. When it comes to the Word of God, there are many today that actually call themselves a higher critic. Meaning that they feel like they have the ability to sit in judgment of the Word of God. There is that kind of arrogance out there. I propose and put before you this morning, there is no higher critic of anyone than the Word of God. There is nothing that we will ever try to stand up against that will be as powerful as the Word of God in directing our lives. In showing us and leading us down the right road in a right and proper walk with the Lord. The incisive Word of God is an instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to bring about conviction. Conviction of sin. And it even takes those who are dead in trespass and sin and makes them alive to their lost condition. It makes them alive to their peril. It makes them alive to their doom. We have a lot of people in the world today that are running around lost and undone without Jesus. They need to be saved this morning. Before they can be saved, they need to realize their peril. They need to realize their condition. They need to realize their doom. And the only way they're going to do it is through the Word of God. It's the only way they're going to do it. It's the only way you realized it in your life, and it's the only way I realized it in my life, through the authority and the power. 1 Peter 1:23 reminds us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I can have my opinion. You can have your opinion and your thoughts and your feelings. But when it comes down to truth and certainty of the matters of life, the Word of God abides forever. Over and above any opinion, any thought. And lastly, the Word of God is inescapable. Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejoiceth or rejecteth me, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Reject Jesus Christ. Reject him. And it will be this word that judges you in the last day. That's a scary thought. The ones today that say, well, the Bible is just an antiquated book. It is a myth. It is a fairy tale. It doesn't hold true today. We're enlightened above any of that. It's superstition. All of those people, and I have heard every one of those from folks here in this county. I have heard folks that live here in this county that have came, this little county in the Blue Ridge Mountains, in the middle of the Bible Belt. The folks have came and they have said that not only do they not believe it, they reject it totally. A superstition. Jesus just said it will be this book that they claim superstition that they will be judged by. The word judge here, it comes from a Greek word that's used of a legal decision in a court of law. A legal decision. Like I've said before in other messages, when we stand before judgment, when the world stands before judgment, it will not be a court of law where you have a chance to make a legal argument. It will be time for the judge to make a decision and a conviction. That's what the word judge here means. It's the Greek word krino. Lightly ignoring or lightly taking or totally ignoring the Word of God and setting aside the teachings of Christ will result in judgment. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 12 and see that the books were open. Plural. Books. One of them was the book of life, and those not found written in it were cast into the lake of fire. What was the other one? The other one was the Word of God. That Jesus said they would be judged. It's a serious matter today. When we hear people criticize, condemn, and put down the Word of God, the church often takes it and laughs it off and says, well, they don't know what they're talking about. But even too often today, the church doesn't realize the depth and the breadth of the Word of God in their own lives. And the seriousness of it. That's why Paul wanted to encourage the folks in Thessalonica about this and the problems they were having. Because when we lose the sensitivity that we have toward the Word of God, we lose the sensitivity that we have toward everything it speaks of. Inescapable. Well, Paul said in verse 13 that the truth was received. In verse 14 he says it was retained. He says, "For ye brethren." That little word "ye" is personal. It points to the individual. Paul said, each individual person that is sitting under the sound of his voice his brethren or brother. That means this is the church. It isn't the lost, and it isn't the religious crowd, the Judaism, the Judaizers. It's not those that are going after the lost. It's the church. It's the ones that are born again. He says, ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen. It was retained. The word of God was received and it was retained. They were holding on to it. Now what are you doing with the word of God this morning? Are you holding on to it? You've received it in truth when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But when you receive it, what are you doing with it? Let me help you with that as we go into the last part of the message this morning. Remember Jesus' parable of the stewards? The master gave them all according to their ability. And upon his return, he asked them what they had done as an investment with what he had given them. God has given all of us the Word of God. We have received it. Now, what have we done with it? What have we done with it? According to our ability. Have we used it according to the ability that God has given us? Have we used His Word and taken it and shared it with those around us, those that did not know it? Have we taken the abilities and the gifts that God has given us and applied it to His Word and taken it and shared it and retained it? Retained it through what, preacher? Retained it through persecution first. Paul says that they had suffered like things of their own countrymen. Paul knew what it was like to literally be beaten half to death. Paul knew that some of these in Thessalonica had suffered that same consequence, that same persecution. But yet they retained the gospel. They retained the word of God. You're the church this morning. If you're born again, you have received the Word of God and you are retaining the Word of God, be prepared to be persecuted because of it. I'm not going to tell you that the physical persecution that Paul suffered will come to you, but nonetheless, persecution will come. If you retain the Word of God and you hold on to it and you make a stand with it, you will be persecuted. It may be socially, it may be culturally, it may be through legal channels, it may be physically. If you retain it, you will be persecuted for it. So you're not going to win many people to Jesus preaching like that. There's been too much feel good, easy, come and get it preaching. Salvation is free. Freely given. But it cost something. It cost Jesus His life. And just as Jesus told those 12 that followed Him, if they hated me first, they will hate you. The Christian life has never been an easy life, and it will never be an easy life. There will be persecution that comes from the world because the world is of the devil, and the devil is the enemy of the gospel. But not only will there be persecution, there will be progress because the truth is retained in the church. The gospel will be a priority in the life of the church. I say that intentionally, the life of the church. Because anybody can lay claim to the title of Christian today. But only the church has ownership of it. And as ownership of Christianity, they are the ones that will progress the gospel throughout the world. It will be the church. And it can only happen through witness and through testimony. In other words, what you retain, you will reap. If you have retained the Word of God in your heart and in your life this morning, you will repeat it. You will repeat it. Not as something that's being rehearsed. It won't be something that you will say, well, gee, I guess I had better behave this way, and I had better dot these I's, and I had better cross these T's. It will not be something rehearsed. It will be something that will flow from your heart, from your life, because it is something that you have ownership of. You have ownership of the Word of God because you received it through salvation, and you retain it, and because you retain it, you're going to repeat it. You're going to repeat it in your personal witness and in your personal testimony as the life that you lead. You're going to repeat it in grace and in mercy, because grace and mercy was shown to you first through Jesus Christ. And because you retain it, you're going to show it. You're going to repeat it. Not only will you retain it through persecution, and you will retain it by showing progress, but you will retain it through perseverance. Persecution is going to always present obstacles to progress. Always. It's going to happen. It happened in Paul's life. It happened in the life of the church of Thessalonica. It happened in the life of the folks at the church of Ephesus. It happened all through the Word of God. And rest assured, if it hasn't happened already in your life, it will. It will. So the church has perseverance. You have to take ownership of that. You have to take the mindset and the attitude because of what Jesus gave to me. I will not allow it to die. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. They can call me anything they want to call me. They can name me, title me, whatever they want to do. But if the Word of God says it, it's certain. And I believe it. And it will persevere. If by none other, it will persevere through me. Not because I'm perfect, not because I'm sinless, not because of anything else, but just simply because it is the Word of God. I will be that vessel that it carries forth. Perseverance. You receive the Word of God through salvation. You've retained it. And with that retention is a responsibility of ownership. And a remembrance to take that ownership and persevere with it. The triumph of the Word of God is the way that it progresses into the hearts and lives of those who do not know Him. Those who need to know Him. And the way it strengthens and encourages your walk with the Lord this morning. As children of God, as born again believers today, we live in a day and in an age where it is not popular to be a Christian. It is not popular to be part of the church. We need encouragement. And let this morning be an encouragement. Well, there's some pretty discouraging stuff in there. There's some pretty discouraging information about how the world is going to try to preach it. But there's some pretty encouraging stuff in there about the authority and the power and the perseverance of the Word of God. And what it can do in your life and in the lives of those around you. For the man or woman who belongs to the church, that is, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt they've been born again, they also know they have received those fivefold qualities of the Word of God. They understand that the Word of God is inerrant. They understand it is inspired, it is infinite, it is incisive, and it is inescapable. And if you've received the truth, there's no reason that you should not be retaining it. Taking ownership of it. Making it personal in your life. It will be the difference, the only difference, in living a correct life, a proper life, and having a good godly life, and not being conformed to the world, and having the power of God work through you to help transform the world. It will make that big of a difference. There is triumph that comes to those who persevere by seeing God's Word progress to the hearts of others. When we walk out of here in just a few minutes, we need to walk out of here with the idea that we are going to see the triumph of God's Word persevere through our personal lives out in the world. Out in the world today. I'd like to ask if we could have a hymn of invitation. As we close our service this morning, if there's something that the Lord has spoken to your heart about, now is a time and an opportunity for you to come and get things right with Him. Now is a time and an opportunity to rededicate yourself to the perseverance of the Word of God, to see it triumph through your life.